first tattooed on you? What would be wrong with that? Is it wrong, you know, to put artwork and stuff like that on your body? So you're going to find basically three positions. You'll find some people will say tattoos are prohibited for Christians, and that would be maybe a more traditional or a more conservative point of view. You'd have people that say tattoos are permissible for Christians. That's going to be more of a liberal point of view. People would hold that view, would say, well, if you think that they're forbidden, you're just being a legalist. That's just legalism. And, you know, we don't prescribe to legalism and things like that. But there's a third view that I'd like to bring out as well that says that they're going to offer a more balanced perspective on the matter. And this is what I call permissible yet cautious. Permissible yet cautious. Permissible yet this view would say that tattoos are permissible for Christians, but only under certain criteria. And I'd like to say that if their point of view they're coming from, we'll discuss a little bit about that, is that, well, it's an area of Christian liberty. We can't say that they're not permitted for Christians. But we'll say that you just have to be real careful about getting them. And I think I want to say right out front that that does sound like a balanced perspective, but I think it falls short. Because first of all, either for a Christian, either tattoos are permissible or they're not. Right? We can't make it, well, let me make it real spiritual. If I get something that's real spiritual, has this real devout meaning, then it's okay. Right? So it's either permissible or it's not. Either I can tattoo my favorite, a piece of pizza on me, and that's fine, or it's not fine. Right? We don't need to try to look and search to find some super spiritual meaning. Like, it's okay if it's a cross. Right? So it's either right or it's wrong. And obviously we would understand with everything within Christendom, if tattoos were okay, certainly we would know evil things, right? Evil images would not be good. Just like anything we do as Christians, there's an evil side of things that we don't go. We don't do those things, right? So they would say, well, that's their perspective on that. And I want to just say right now, either they're permissible or they're not, right? So that's, we don't need to fool ourselves into thinking, well, if it's real spiritual and I mean it in a spiritual way, then it's okay. Either it's right or wrong. Either it's not sin or it's sin. So that's what we want to discuss these things. Obviously, I would fall in the position of, you know, that tattoos would be prohibited for Christians. And I hope that we will see these things. Why? From the Word of God. Because obviously one view is correct and one view is not, right? These things are different. And so someone's right, someone's wrong. We need to remain humbled and say, could I be wrong? Could we be wrong? We could be. So we need to look to the Word of God for those things to get a biblical perspective. So, you know, tattoos in our world today are ever increasing in their popularity. They are no longer just for sailors and gangsters. They're not just for rock stars and vagabonds and, you know, the people of the underworld. It's not for now. It's popular. It's trendy. It's normal. You know, Sailor Jerry, if you've heard of him, a very famous tattooer in American history, he was afraid that one day tattoos would become a part of the popular culture. See, they wanted it to remain esoteric. They wanted it to remain gritty and kind of, you know, only those different kind of people got tattoos. And maybe it was your doctor and you never knew, but there was just something edgy, something different about him that you never knew. His nightlife and that kind of a thing. They wanted it to remain that way. But it didn't, you know, it just has grown in popularity. And now if you don't have one already, you know, someone that does, you see them everywhere in a place like Austin, Texas, you're almost the odd man out if you don't have a tattoo. Right. So they're very popular. You know, people in their 40s, 50s and 60s are getting tattoos right now that they would have never gotten in the day that they grew up in. When they were 18, 19, 20, they wouldn't have gotten them in the time that they grew up. But now it's different. Now they can get them. Now there's no stigma attached to these things. Within Christianity, there's people getting tattoos and promoting them and these kinds of things. There's even a mega church, we say that with air quotes, that has a tattoo shop there and it's part of its church. And they justify it by saying, well, it's only spiritual images that we have here, you know. In other words, no pinup girls and, you know, demons, right? No grotesque things. Plenty of false images of Jesus Christ, though. But nonetheless, what should we do about these things? Is it biblical or is it unbiblical? Is it a matter of Christian liberty or is it turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness or allowing grace to say we can do whatever we will with it? as an occasion to the flesh. And I know I get it. Would it be so weird to get a cross or like praying hands or something to show my devotion to God? We got to look at these things. We'll answer these things. First of all, I'm not saying if you have tattoos, you're going to hell. I'm not saying if you as a Christian go out and get a tattoo, you're going to go to hell, right? Because just like any sin, any temptation we face, our salvation is not based in what we do, right? So when we face temptation, we got to yield to the Spirit. We got to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we're not out here saying, oh, people with tattoos are going to hell. Or if you get a tattoo, you're going to hell. But we don't make excuses for any kind, any manner of sin, right? We need to remain holy. That's what God wants for us. And so what I would say here is that the real question is, do you have a heart that's surrendered to God's desires, or are you set on doing what's right in your own eyes? That's really what we're looking at when we address the subject of tattoos. So I hope that we'll demonstrate some of these things from the Word of God. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony about this, and then we'll look at several things getting into Leviticus, following up on the next study. We will touch on several other things that I think don't get brought into the equation that are very important for us to consider when we look at this subject. So before we get into Leviticus 19, I'd like to say up front that any Christian can study any subject and come to a biblical understanding on it. I believe that firmly. You don't have to know about a certain kind of sin. You don't have to have been involved with it to find out what the Word of God has to say, to study the issue and reach a conclusion. Everyone can do that. But I want to say that perhaps I might offer a unique perspective in that I myself used to be a tattooer. I tattooed for 3 years professionally, and I don't mean scratching on buddies in a garage. I'm talking a very professional, high-quality tattoo studio, studied under award-winning artists, a Japanese tattoo master, and I charged $100 an hour to tattoo people, and so did the other artists there. So it was a very a well-established kind of thing. I was so devoted to tattooing that when Alexis and I got married, she moved to Austin for grad school. The first year of our marriage, I stayed in Corpus tattooing at the shop where I studied at while she lived in Austin. And I would come up, you know, every once or twice a month. That's how devoted I was. I realize how foolish that was now. But I'm saying that's how devoted I was to the craft. That's how devoted I was to the trade and to myself being tattooed. You know, it all started for me. My journey started into tattooing the day I turned 18, right? Unbeknownst to my mom, I had saved up money, went out with my friends to the tattoo parlor, and got my first tattoo, this little star right there on my wrist. After biting my lips through the pain for what seemed like an eternity, the guy was like, "Do you want me to fill it in?" "No, no, I'm good just like that." But the truth is, that's what I wanted. You see, I had seen a guy on MTV just... not even a star, just a guy on there, you know, talking. And he had no tattoos, but he had a star just like that on his wrist. And I was like, that looks cool. That looks awesome. I want that. And I began to draw it on me, you know, like at school. And just imagine what it would look like. And then I got it. I got it when I turned 18 and I was legally able to get one. And, you know, that's what got me hooked. And so, after a few tattoos later, you know, I had devoted my body to traditional Japanese tattoo art. It was, I mean, full head to toe. I was going to be covered. Not my face. I never was into that, but I was going to be covered. And I thank God when I look back at God's providential grace that the tattoo shop I studied at and worked at and where I was tattooed, they encouraged me. They said, don't get your hands in your throat yet. You need to wait. You need to earn that, especially coming into doing tattoos. You need to earn that. Don't just jump to that. You need to do your arms, do your body, do your torso before you get your throat done. And they would have tattooed it if I would have said, come on, please do it. But I listened to their advice and I'm glad. Otherwise, I would have had a three-headed Buddha on my neck that looks like a demon, not the fat jolly one, but a demonic looking one. That's what I was into. I would have had my hands, everything. I would have been covered. And I thank God that he stopped me. You know, in the tattoo industry, what we call neck tattoos, hand tattoos, we call them job stoppers. It's a job stopper. And when young cats come in wanting to get one, we tell them, no, you know, we're not going to do that, because why would you do that to yourself? Why would you limit yourself and what you can do in your job and your career? So we just turn them away. And other tattoo shops will, but our tattoo shop didn't do that. For people that were, obviously, we could judge the situation and say, you know, probably not a good idea for them. So I'm glad for that. Thank God for that. And so after I was born again through the gospel of Jesus Christ, due to my circumstances and pressures around me going on, and really my lack of resolve, I remained tattooing even as a born-again Christian for several months, right here in a very famous tattoo shop here in Austin. See, there's a lot of loyalty in the industry, and due to certain things that were transpired for me to transfer from Corpus to Austin to be with my wife, there were a lot of really grand doors, if you will, were opened for me because of the people that I knew, and I felt this obligation not to just abandon my chair after I had come in. And I remained tattooing there for a while, and it really bothered me. I could feel that I was grieving the Holy Spirit doing these things. I can remember I would be praying every day, Lord, please don't let somebody come in and get tattooed today. Let it be a slow day today. I don't want to do tattoos. Can you imagine being a born-again Christian tattooing a satanic star on somebody? You know what I mean? That'll bother you. But it's not just the satanic stars. It was tattoos in general. And so I'm bringing these lessons not as someone who, you know, the more of my body is tattooed than is not tattooed. So I come from a perspective of one who has, my body's covered in tattoos. I had the tattoo obsession like so many others around us today. But I would say that this is going to be more than just an anecdotal plea. This is going to be more than just, well, my experience was this. I want to bring that out and for whatever it's worth. But more importantly, we got to look to the Word of God and say, can we honor God with our lives in this way? Should we express ourselves to God in this way, or should we not? That's the conclusion we want to come to. So let's talk about tattoos and printing marks on your body as we're here to Leviticus. Let me get there myself. Leviticus 19. So if you'll look in your concordance, you'll find, in the back of your Bible or something, you won't find the word tattoo appearing in the Bible. You can look in the Greek and Hebrew. You won't find that word there. So how can I say so strongly that tattoos are unbiblical? So someone would say, well, if the Bible's silent on a matter, shouldn't we be silent? Shouldn't that be a matter of liberty? So this is a question that many ask when they're looking at the subject of tattoos. And others say, as long as I have faith to get one, I can get one. So we'll discuss those things by the end of all of these things. But I want to share one more thing here is that, I heard a radio segment from a very conservative type of, Christian media outlet. And they cover a wide range of topics and things that are, maybe relevant to the church or false teachers, false doctrines, things that are out there. And they did a little segment, a little 10-minute thing on tattoos. And is it wrong or is it okay? And basically, to come down to it, their perspective was that they couldn't say that it was forbidden or sinful to do that. They said it was Christian liberty, provided that the tattoo was not ungodly. And then they also would say, and also be careful about not causing other Christians to stumble over your faith and things like that. And I was surprised because this kind of group was typically more conservative or traditional in the way that they viewed things. The summary of their point was that the word tattoo is not in the Bible. The closest thing to it is mentioned in Leviticus, which may or may not necessarily be a tattoo. And it was different because of the context than what we do today. So it doesn't apply. And some people even out and out try to say Leviticus 19 doesn't mention tattoos. And we're going to look at that. And I'll say right now it's either ignorance of what a tattoo is or just self-deceit. They're being self-deluded. And they want to justify getting tattoos. And then they say, most of these things that we find in Leviticus, although they have a good purpose, they're not really for new covenant believers. And then they said that thus tattoos are the same thing as piercings, and we should just try not to offend people. But if you have the faith, you have liberty. However, just don't use your liberty, to be offensive to other people. Don't use it in sinful ways. And again, they're not trying to appeal to a young demographic or anything like that. I mean, this was just they studied the thing, and I think that this was just the conclusion they came to. And I'm all for Christian liberty. I'm all for laying aside our preconceived ideas or personal opinions and saying, just what does the authority of the Word of God say, and let me lean on that and that alone. I'm all for that. I just think that in their studying on the issue of tattoos, they just fell short on some of these things. And I hope to bring some of these things out and address some of these points, because this is what these are the things that get raised when we're talking about this. You know, I've watched many videos and looking at these things of people, typical, you know, ask a pastor or whatever, and people of all different persuasions. And basically, it just comes down to if you've got the liberal, if you're a liberal type of person, liberal Christianity, you say they're okay. If you're more traditional, you say, well, maybe we shouldn't. If you're a youth pastor, you pretty much say they're okay. Just don't, you know, don't tell you. They got to, like, get in with the young crowd. Well, you know, maybe a cross or something. You know, that's cool. That's all right. That seems to be the case. But we need to just say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We want to just see what God expects out of us. So you're there in Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to begin with this. So, is tattooing indeed mentioned in the Bible? Yes, it is. Tattooing is certainly mentioned in the Bible. So, I mentioned you won't see the word tattoo there, and we'll discuss why. But it's most definitely mentioned here. Now, modern Bible versions will, in this text we're going to see, Leviticus 19, modern Bible versions do insert the word tattoo in here. So, well, let's update it. Let's put the word tattoo in there. However, that's not as accurate of a translation, because this is a tattoo, right? Ink injected into the skin. We'll discuss about that. But that's limited. That limits what God's word really says, because it goes beyond just one type of marking the skin. So the word tattoo there is put in there in modern versions. It shouldn't be there, because God covers, and he uses an umbrella to describe all manner of things that would be tattooing, brandings, markings, scarification, all kinds of things that are involved. We're going to look at that. So you're there in Leviticus 19. Look at verse 28. It says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." See, other versions will say, "nor tattoo upon you," right? But this is a tattoo. Okay, he said, "Don't print any marks upon you," right? So that's all kinds of things that under body modification, all kinds of things such as brandings and all other things that we'll look at. But so we need to see what it's important. Just translate what the word of God. It says, "Print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." So in this passage, the Lord is addressing statutes for Israel as a nation to keep, and the same practice is again forbidden. Hold Leviticus 19. Flip over to Leviticus 21. Leviticus 21, the same practice is brought up, and here we find this is specifically for the priests, and it says in Leviticus 21, verse 5, "They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." So go back to Leviticus 19, we see those two passages. Let's first deal with the word tattoo itself, since it doesn't appear in the Bible. The word tattoo is an English transliteration of a Samoan word. A Samoan word. We say T-A-T-T-O-O. The Samoan word is T-A-T-O-U. Tattoo. 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 So it's a transliteration of that word into the English vocabulary. This word in their language means to strike. And so this is their custom and practice of tattooing was to take bones and maybe real small stones and sharpen them into pricks. And they would take the pricks and dip them in ink and strike the body. And as they would do that, it would be making that sound. That became their word for putting on a tattoo. So the word tattoo, the etymology, it describes the sound of the bone breaking skin and ripping out and over and over and over and over. That's where the word comes from. That's what the word means. That style, that word, you're familiar with the entertainer, The Rock, or the Disney movie Moana, that big fat guy with all those tattoos. That's Samoan. That's a Polynesian style tattoo. That's where the word comes from. Today, in our day and age, the modern tattooing tattoo machines, that sound of the flesh being ripped up is covered up with a bzzz sound. You don't hear it. But I've been tattooed two different traditional ways. I've been tattooed by just hand poking with needle. I've been tattooed with the Japanese style where they have a long stick over thumb and they're doing that. And when it's done that way, you can both feel and hear the flesh being ripped into, yanked up, ripped into, yanked up, ripped into, yanked up. And you hear the sound. You hear the sound of tattoo, where it came from. So people kind of miss that in our modern day, but it's no different. And that's where that word comes from. The reason why the word tattoo doesn't appear in the Bible is because It's relatively new in the English language. And also, it's Samoan, not ancient Hebrew, right? Nor is Greek. It's Samoan. Where was the Bible written in? Hebrew, right? In the Old Testament? Not written in Samoan. That's why the Hebrew writers didn't put in the Samoan word tattoo in there, right? But God explains it for us. God describes for us the practice going on, what's going on there. So it's foolish to say that the word tattoo isn't in the Bible. Of course it's not, right? It wasn't written in that language. But the Old Testament written in Hebrew does say in Leviticus 19:28, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." So "print any marks upon you" is a translation of a Hebrew word, kethabeth. This word means a letter or mark branded on the skin, any mark on the body, any mark put on the body in this way. So the word itself, kethabeth, does not always mean a tattoo. That's why you can't translate it as tattoo. It's a marking, it's an incision, inscribing into the skin in whatever means. So sometimes this word is used in the Bible and it's referring to etching words into stone, right? Or into animal skins. But in some cases, as it is here, it's referring to etching into the body, into the flesh of the body. The word kethobeth has a root word of kethab, which means to grave, to engrave, to write, to describe, to inscribe. So the context of the situation of what God is saying is don't inscribe and carve into your flesh marks. Don't put cuttings for the dead. Don't put any kind of carvings into your flesh. Don't do that. I am the Lord, he says. So here's a fact. A tattoo is a cutting in the flesh. A tattoo is also a printed mark on the body. So regardless of your opinion on tattoos, it's either, as I said, it's ignorance of what a tattoo is, or it's just dishonesty in trying to justify the practice by saying, well, we don't really know if this is exactly talking about tattooing or not. Then you don't know what a tattoo is, because a tattoo is a process of cutting the flesh with blades and injecting ink into the skin so that the new layers of skin heal over it and you have ink sealed in under your skin. You cannot do that without cutting open your flesh. That's why tattoos bleed. That's why they can get infected. That's why they take quite a time to heal. That's why when some people tattoo too hard, your skin falls out as it heals. And you just have this like scathing wound that has to just heal over. That happens quite often in the tattooing thing when it's done too hard. The traditional Japanese word for tattoo, which I was studying, is horimono, which is coming from the word meaning to carve. So a tattoo is a cutting in the flesh. Beyond that, tattoos specifically are the printing of the mark in the flesh by cutting it and injecting ink. So the Bible brings it up. The Bible talks about it. And he says, don't print any marks upon your body. I am the Lord. So someone's going to say, you know what? But that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. And that was just for them. It's not for us. If they're still forbidden, look at Leviticus 19:27, right? Look at 27. You shall not round the corners of your head, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. So if we as Christians are permitted to, you know, shave or cut our hair or whatever, then who's to say I can't get a tattoo? This is what they say. So you're preaching Leviticus 19 about putting marks on your body. Well, are you putting, you know, shavings in your beard or rounding the corners of your head? Are you doing that? You know what? That's a fair thing to say. But who can play that game? Look at verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall into whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So the reference to tattooing is sandwiched right in between cutting your beards and prostitution. So can we say, oh, that's just Old Testament stuff, man. That doesn't matter what it said in Leviticus 19. It doesn't matter. Okay, so can we prostitute our daughters? Can we do any manner of prostitution? Would that be legitimate? No, we can't, right? And so we can't just say, oh, that's the Old Testament. Oh, that's Leviticus 19. Pull this up on the screen. Can y'all see that? Can you guys see this? Okay, so Leviticus 19, if you go through it, this is what we're going to find. These are explicit commandments in Leviticus 19. Loving God. It says, fear God, obey God, flee idolatry. I'm giving you New Testament terminology for the Old Testament scripture in Leviticus. Fear God says, but thou shalt fear thy God. obey God, therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Flee idolatry, says, turn ye not unto idols. Don't make idolatry, nor make to yourselves molten gods. It goes on and on. For time's sake, I can, you know, share a handout if you'd like, but going through this quickly, in Leviticus 19 alone, it tells us to give cheerfully. You shall offer it at your own will. Don't swear, take God's name in vain. Don't blaspheme. Respect God's house. Keep going. Be ye holy. Don't steal. Don't manipulate. Don't lie. Flee fornication. No sex trafficking. Abstain from blood. He says, go back. Honor your parents. Care for the poor. Leave revenge to God. Forgive one another. Don't gossip. Don't hurt people. Respect foreigners. Love foreigners. Those are two different things. You can respect someone and not love them. He goes beyond that saying, love the stranger in your land. Honor the elderly. Go on. Don't defraud one another, right? Thou shalt not defraud thine. It's straight out of the New Testament. Not to defraud ye not one another. Pay your employees, right? The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night. Pay the guy what's due, right? That's what they're saying. Don't curse or mock people. Thou shalt not curse the deaf. Don't mock people. Don't mock them for their inabilities. He says, judge righteous judgment. No partiality. Don't be apathetic or indifferent. Correct one another in love. Honest business dealings. Go on. No magic spells, no astrology, no necromancy, no witchcraft. So we have 35 individual statutes that still apply explicitly or in principle under the new covenant. Go to the next one. You'll find these things also in Leviticus 19 about observing the Sabbath. You'll find offering sacrifices at the temple. Keep going. You'll find law of reaping crops. Go on. You'll find laws of cattle pedigree, maintaining purity and pedigree. You'll find laws of planting. You'll find not mixing fabrics, which always gets brought up. Well, are you wearing cotton and polyester? Then don't tell me about my tattoo. Keep going. We have a trespass offering. We have how the atonement for the trespass offering was to be made by the priest. Go on. You have laws of appearance, such as not marring your, you know, the rounding the corners of your head. You have reverencing at the temple, the way to carry yourself and your manner at the temple. So the summary is you can make 12 individual statutes that have been, you could maybe say, set aside, yet they still carry biblical principles that are still relevant for Christians, right? But we understand that under the new covenant, there's a different place of some of these things. So go on to the next thing. So we find 35 individual statutes that still apply explicitly or in principle, 12 individual statutes that you can maybe say have to some degree have been set aside. And we find the next thing says, do we still think that Leviticus 19 is not relevant? Is it not relevant or is it relevant? You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Thank you, Alexis. That's done. So is Leviticus 19 relevant for us or not? Is God still talking to us out of Leviticus 19 or is he not? Right? He is. Amen. He's talking to us out of Leviticus 19. And I think by the end of this, we will find that you'll find some of these things have a ceremonial aspect to them, which serve a real purpose. It's not arbitrary or meaningless. But some of these things fit the moral law of God and our godly character and conversation. We'll find the tattoos fit into that category. There's a difference between ceremonial and the cultural statutes of Israel and the moral law of God. So the next thing is, are tattoos and piercings the same thing? Are they on the same level? A final thing to consider here is this. Is this is what always gets brought up, is that, well, tattoos and piercings are the same. That's what they always say. So sure, tattoos and piercings tend to go together. You know, you see people with tattoos, they probably have piercings. People that have a lot of body piercings probably have tattoos, right? A lot of tattoo shops do piercings there. Although that type of piercing, you're not going as a young lady to get your ear pierced at the tattoo shop. What are you going over there to do? Your nose, your eyes, your lips, all of those things, your septum, belly buttons, all these exotic body piercings. In fact, this says tattoos and body piercings, right? They're not using that little gun that they do at the mall. This is a different thing. They can obviously pierce your ears there, but those are for people to go to get their ears stretched and all kinds of things like that. You know, I used to have a bull ring in my nose. That's what a septum ring is. You know, when you pierce this in between here and have the bull ring coming out. So I know about that. I know what that's about. But from the Bible's perspective, tattoos and piercings are not the same thing. They're not on the same level. But why? You can hold Leviticus 19. If you want to turn to Exodus 21. Exodus 21. We can't lump these two things together to try to say, well, if we get one, we get the other in for free. You can't do that. Exodus chapter 21 in verse 6. Exodus 21:6 says, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So that sounds like, whoa, what's going on there? But if you understand the context of this, this is a servant who's fulfilled his contract and he wishes to stay with the master. Right. So that tells you a lot about what servitude was supposed to be like. Here's a guy that served his term and he's like, you know, I'm going to stay here with you. I'm going to stay here and serve here. Maybe he has nothing to go to, but here he's got a nice place to live, meals to eat, and he's working a job. What do I got to lose? Many of the servants you'll find were given into marriages. And well, my wife and kids are here. I'm going to stay here. All these kinds of things. So we find God saying that if he wishes to stay, they're going to pierce his ear as a sign that, you know, he free will chose to abide and stay there serving. He chose to do that. They're going to pierce his ear as a sign of that. You're still holding Leviticus 19. Go to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. We're not going to look at everything the Bible says about piercings, but I'm just bringing out two things. Ezekiel chapter 16. So in Ezekiel 16, looking at verse 11, it says, I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. So here we have symbolic language God is using to describe his blessing to Israel as a nation. You'll find God often refers to the nation of Israel as a woman or as his wife, who and that she should reverence and be faithful to her husband, to God. Yet often she turns aside into spiritual idolatry, spiritual adulteries and things like that. So God himself relates a spiritual truth in terms of giving beautiful jewels and clothing to the one you love, to your wife. And clearly God is not against earrings. It says, and earrings in thine ear, right? God's saying that. So God is not offended or has not forbidden the wearing of earrings. However, there's obviously a balance and a right attitude for all things, especially in terms of modesty, because even piercings can become ungodly. In fact, God also in Ezekiel says, because I made you beautiful, you were puffed up in pride, and you began doing all of these things to the false gods and serving the false gods. Therefore, I'm going to take the earrings off of your ears. I'm going to take the crowns off of you. The nations are going to see you in the dust and, you know, abhor. You'll be an abhorring to all nations. And so we find that these things can become immodest. They can become sinful. But in and of itself, an earring is not sinful. God commanded that the guy had his ears pierced to show his sign to his master. God said that it's okay to have earrings here. They're not the same thing, because in two passages, God has forbidden to his people a practice of cutting into the flesh. But in just two examples, we see that God has said that there will be earrings and ears. They're not the same thing. We might try to link them together in our mind, but according to God's word, they're not. They're not the same thing. He forbade one practice and he didn't forbid another. Does that make sense? So we'll go back to Leviticus 19. Tattoos and piercings are not the same thing. Obviously, we understand that even with things that God has permitted, we have to remain modest about these things. Modesty is the key. So Leviticus 19:28. I want to try to, we'll wrap this up with two observations. We're trying to go through this quickly. Tattoos in Leviticus 19, our first point about tattoos in this passage is that they're forbidden because they're a pagan practice. And first of all, what do we mean by pagan? You know, the Israel, when it was birthed as a nation out of Exodus, was not just one skin color. There was a multitude of people that became that nation. And even among that nation, there were people of different ethnicities that came in and intermarried and mingled and things like that. So when we say pagan, we don't mean Gentile. Gentile means foreigner. It means you're not an Israelite. You're a Gentile. Everyone else in the world. And again, it's not strictly a skin color thing either. But nonetheless, when we say pagan, we don't say if it's not a Jewish custom, then it's a pagan custom. That's not, we can't equate it that way. I don't say if it's not what Jews did, then it's what pagans do. Because there are things that Gentiles do that are not sinful things, that are things that just different people have and different customs and different traditions. Jews didn't make piñatas, right? Mexicans made piñatas. Is that piñatas? Are they pagan? No. It's just a cultural thing that was relevant for them. And it's a harmless, oh, let's celebrate, boom, let's break the pot and the fruit comes out and we all eat fruit, right? That's not sinful. That's not pagan. When we say pagan, we mean the customs and practices within Gentile nations that are not neutral. They're the things that are based in and rooted in their false systems of worship and idolatry, superstitions, mysticism, witchcraft, and all of those kinds of things. Those are where you can find what we would describe to be pagan. And we find that tattoos are, they're not bad because they're Gentile. They're bad because they're pagan. So that's what that means. When it says in Leviticus 19:28, and we'll discuss these things as we go into it, but this is just kind of our introductory lesson for today. Leviticus 19:28, again, he says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." This is the ancient practice of marking the body, and there's a clearly a heathenistic reasoning thing to it, to represent some kind of a mystical or spiritual purpose or to identify you within the culture. He says, make no cuttings in your flesh for the dead, right? So we kind of get, okay, there's a paganistic purpose in this practice. They're doing something for the dead. They're not just doing it because, oh, look how great this looks. It was done for a purpose. There's a purpose and a meaning behind it. And we need to remember this subject of tattooing for cultural identity, because this is going to play into our next lesson, something that is always overlooked by people and when discussing this subject, cultural identity. But nonetheless, what does Leviticus 19:28 forbid? This is going to be our conclusion for today. In this verse, we find not one, this is important, it's not one, but two distinct yet related practices that are forbidden by God. Notice what it says. It says, cuttings in the flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. So the first observation is this. The main error that people make in this passage is always assuming that printing marks is for the dead. That's not what the Bible says. He says, don't put any cuts in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Right? You have to understand the context. They say this is a practice for the dead, and we're not getting our tattoos for the dead, so what we do is different. It's not the same. But again, that's not what the Bible says. He says, don't make cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Then he says, nor print any marks upon you. So two separate practices, but they're also similar. We understand that. You can't put a tattoo in without cutting the flesh. But God is saying this because he's addressing two different things. God knows what he's talking about. So here's why. The first thing, cuttings in your flesh, this is scarification. Scarification versus printing marks. They're not the same thing. They're two separate things. Scarification was practiced in pagan cultures, and it's alive and well today in the body modification movement. And they've done it for a whole host of reasons. Some cultures practice scarification. This is where the flesh is cut in such a way as so that when it heals a raised scar will be healed over. And they've done that to make designs on their body. And they make some look like, you know, artistic designs. Some are just, you would think like that looks random, but they know what it means. Other times they were done to make themselves look like crocodile skin or reptilian skin and different kinds of things, stripes like an animal. They've done that. That's a practice of scarification, cutting in the flesh. Obviously, here we find some people doing it in some way of paying tribute to the dead for whatever reason. But that's why he says don't put cuttings in your flesh, right? So that's scarification. That's a thing that is done and is practiced and it still continues to this day. Then he says, nor print any marks, nor print any marks. He didn't say nor tattoo. He said print any marks. This falls into the category of tattoos, brandings, burnings, things like that. Other pagan cultures practice, you know, we call it tattooing. They called it by other names. This is a shallower cut in the skin where ink isn't injected into it, right? So that when it heals, the skin heals over it, and you still have that marking of the ink where you were cut. It remains. It is a scar. It's a nicer looking scar. It's a scar that heals over well. The people also did brandings and burnings. You know about brandings. You know what those are. There was also a practice of hot blades and knives where you didn't cut the skin, but you would burn the skin and make patterns and designs that way. So he's saying, nor print any marks. He's not saying it's limited to tattoos. He's saying all of these practices, don't do those things. Don't do those things. He's banning all of those things, not just cutting your flesh for the dead, but putting all of these kinds of marks on your body. He's saying, don't do those things. I'm the Lord. So God knows exactly what he's talking about and why he makes a distinction here. But we have to stop and say this, is that, by the way, the idea of putting marks on your body for the dead is alive and well today. Because if not 50% or much more of the tattoos that I have done and what most people get are tattoos to honor and respect the dead. This is for my grandpa. This is for grandma. This is for my mom or dad or my best friend that died or whatever. Or someone so-and-so died of cancer. I'm getting the cancer ribbon. I've tattooed hundreds of cancer ribbons on people in respect to someone they love who died of cancer. I'm not being mean or insensitive to the loss of their friend or whoever. I understand that. But I'm just saying we're still tattooing our bodies today for the dead. We're still marking our bodies today for the dead. And so it's no different. Our second observation is this quickly. In Leviticus 19:28, he says, so this cutting on the flesh for the dead obviously indicates that there was this custom of doing this for the dead. But if you'll recall in Leviticus 21, he said, nor make any cuttings in your flesh. He doesn't bring up the subject of the dead. So we can't say that tattoos are okay as long as it's not for the dead. Right? Because for one, they're still doing it for the dead. But for two, is God really saying, well, you know what, God, can I cut my flesh and print marks on my body if it's not for the dead? Can I do it if it's for the living? Can I do it to celebrate my birthday? Can I do it to celebrate the birth of a child? Can I do it, you know, for whatever reason? No, that's why he says, nor print any marks. Don't print any marks. He covers all the ground so that we don't have a way to try to wiggle and work our way around it, right? God said, don't do it. And I would say this, and our final observation is that, did you know that the oldest preserved human remains that have been discovered, you know, by archaeologists or whatever, was, I think it was at the bottom of like a frozen over lake or something somewhere, and they pulled her out, and her body was, you know, shriveled, looked like a mummy, but was more or less preserved, and you could see like she had different tattoos and stuff on her skin, and this is like super ancient. This is like way a long time ago, several thousand years ago. I mean, they even say, like, I don't know, like 4,000 years ago is their best estimate or whatever. But the way they were, I mean, it was clearly showing the sign of, like, that it was for a magical purpose. Maybe it was a mystical spell of protection and things like that. So what we're bringing out is that the people, the pagan nations, the Gentile peoples that sometimes did just some things culturally that were not sinful, like the piñata example, but they also had within their false systems of worship and their idolatry and their customs of witchcraft, they did come into and cultivate certain practices that represent those things. And clearly we find that tattooing is one of them, doing it for the dead, doing these things for the dead. And so when God says don't do it, he's not just saying if it's as long as it's for the living, it's okay. He's saying nor print any marks. You know what, just in Leviticus 21, you know what, just don't put cuttings in your flesh. Don't do those things. And so we've looked at, well, is there relevance in Leviticus 19 for us? We find that there is. We find that Leviticus 19 is relevant. We do know and understand that there is a difference between ceremonial laws and the moral laws and things that pertain to idolatry and witchcraft and these kinds of things. And God is saying, you know what, I don't want y'all to tamper into those things. I don't want you to adopt those things into your practices. I don't want to express your devotion to me in those things. Tattooing is self-mutilation. Who are the people that did these things in the Bible? In 1 Kings 18, 25 to 28, you have the priests of Baal, right? Cutting their flesh to show devotion to Baal, to try to get Baal to do what they want. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, you have a demon-possessed maniac. What was he doing? Cutting his flesh with stones, right? Self-mutilation. inflicting pain on himself. That's something done by people that are under demonic possession. In Matthew 17, verse 15, there's a boy who's devil-possessed. What is he doing? Tossing himself, throwing himself around, inflicting pain on himself. So this practice of inflicting pain on the body and cutting the flesh, this is not a practice that God desires for his people to do. This is not an expression of your devotion to God that he wants for his people. And are you demon-possessed if you have tattoos? No. But many people are. And in fact, if you study tattooing, you'll know and understand that they would tattoo specific images to infuse spirits into their bodies for those very purposes. And it could be that I'm going to have my great-grandpa with me forever because I have his, you know, this marking in my flesh and his spirit will be with me. Or the spirit of an animal. I'm getting the dragon on my back and it's going to give me this spiritual power. These kinds of things. This is what's going on with this. And when we talk about this just inflicting pain on your body, that's a sign of people demon-possessed. So, is this a form of practice that God wants for his people? Just from Leviticus 19 alone. Is this a form of practice that God wants us to express our devotion to him too? I don't think that it is. And next Sunday we'll conclude these matters and we'll discuss several other dangerous things that are involved with the scriptures, what the scriptures have to say for us, that will give us even more insight into what's wrong with this practice and where do we stand as Christians. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word and for encouraging us and instructing us through it. We just pray that you would help us to receive your words and to meditate on them and that you would help everyone to know what you would have for their lives when we discuss this subject and that they'd also be able to take these same things and help others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.